Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Lori Peters from the Happiness Hangout. Happiness Hangout. Boy, I have to learn how to talk today. A place to support and grow your loving partnerships. And as usual, we're here on every other Wednesday, and we have a guest with us. We always have a subject around relationships, and we're going to have some interesting discussion tonight around people who are suffering from emotional and physical pain. When you're in relationship, you know, that sure puts a layer of struggle around a relationship to deal with that. So we're going to be talking tonight with life coach Scott McMaster. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He has a straightforward, personable style, and he's been guiding individuals and couples to greater self-awareness, joy, and success for over three decades. He was a CFO and CEO of various large entities in the corporate world for over 20 years, and he learned that employees' personal lives, including factors such as their personal challenges, life balance, and happiness levels, were as important to their career success or failure as their work-related strengths and skills. Scott left his full-time corporate career in 2000. He's now a life coach, acting as a powerful guide to individuals, businesses, business leaders, and their employees. His passion is assisting folks to live in joy, believing that you cannot create a happy, fulfilling relationship with another until you've created a happy, fulfilling relationship with yourself. He specializes in the tough stuff, helping clients live free of the larger emotional issues at the root of physical challenges like chronic pain, chronic illnesses, as well as mental challenges like bipolar disorder, PTSD, even borderline personality disorder, a mental health challenge previously believed to be almost impossible to treat with any permanent success. So this is ought to be a very interesting conversation tonight as we talk about pain, physical and mental illness, and pain in relationships. So Scott McMaster, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, Lori. Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, glad to have you. And this is something we really haven't discussed at length on the Happiness Hangout. So I'm excited to talk about that, you know, and unfortunately, there are people around me in my world who have a lot of chronic pain. And I've always wondered, boy, I wish I could do more to help them. I wish I understood. I know some things about it, but, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody and you're having issues, it just puts that layer, like I said, layer of struggle on top of trying to have that fulfilling relationship with another person. So let me start out by just asking you about how you got into this. So obviously you're a life coach. So you went from the corporate world, and then you decided to get into coaching other people. Tell us about how and why that happened.
Well, as you said, I was a corporate CFO, CEO, controller type. And in the late 80s, I began as a business coach and consultant. And, you know, the universe kind of always seems to have a plan for us. And many of my clients at that time were medium-sized organizations owned by families. And family businesses are notorious for being very kind of fertile ground for playing out all of those emotional challenges. When many of these companies realized that I was pretty effective at helping them navigate these tough emotional challenges, you know, I kind of became the de facto family coach mediator in many of them, and it just kind of happened. I officially became a life coach back in 2004 when I really began seeing a lot of individual clients. Up until that time, most of my coaching was done within the corporate environment. I would I would go in to mediate between a brother and a sister, or a husband and wife, or a father and son. So that's a little bit about that. I've been doing this quite a while.
Well, right. And I know you have a course that you have called Focused Well-Being. So tell us a little bit about how that course works and what that's about.
Focused Well-Being came about as the result of both my own challenges as well as my clients. And, you know, as we talked about, I've worked in a lot of businesses. Well, when business owners or managers realized that I was effective for helping people kind of resolve their challenges, I became kind of the guy to help with that good employee who's having a bad time, or the employee that they think could be really great, but you know, something is keeping them from really shining or being successful. And 9 times out of 10, I found that all employees, most employees, really are pretty good employees. Many of them are excellent employees. What limits that is either being in the wrong position for their skill set or their personality, or having personal challenges that are making it impossible for them to really shine. Now, there are exceptions to that, obviously, but my experience is that most people really want to shine, and they want to enjoy their day, and they want to be very on task. And most people don't go in and intend to mess up. They go in with the intention to do well. But we have a lot of, you know, just like in any relationship, you're bringing all of your baggage into that relationship. Well, work is a relationship, and you're bringing all your personal baggage into that as well.
Right. I mean, you can't help but bring yourself to work. I mean, some people, it seems like some people handle it better than other people. Some people are more private than other people, but obviously you come with you wherever you go.
Exactly.
That's how you handle.
Exactly. And so that's how the course came about. I started developing this to allow multiple companies and clients to have a means for assisting their employees in ways that are not necessary, you know, that the company usually kind of takes a hands-off approach from. I mean, more and more we see these days companies not really wanting to know what's going on in the personal lives of their employees. And I certainly understand that, but I'm older, and back in the 70s and 80s when I began my career, there was a much more kind of village attitude about employees and well-being. And, you know, I'll give you a little for instance. I was a young single father. I was 23 years old, and I was married very briefly. And I had a daughter who was born when I was barely 23, and she was born with some pretty serious physical challenges. My wife and I unfortunately didn't make it, and before the baby was a year old, my wife and I were divorced, and I had full custody of the child. And I was in a very demanding career. I was just kind of starting my career and in a very demanding job. But I happened to work for a company that absolutely valued me, and they set up a little nursery in the office next to my office, and they allowed me and my assistant to kind of take time as we needed to take care of my child. And it really was a wonderful organic situation that nobody, or I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people have that kind of a response to that kind of a situation in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very true. I mean, it's very uncommon. And so obviously, you know, as you moved forward, it appears to me that you moved in more to the move out of the employee part of career part of things with people and started working with people on a more personal level.
Actually, I've continued to do both, and this course really does it addresses the whole person, and so mm-hmm. It's all about mental, emotional, and physical well-being, and how all of those need to kind of be in sync for all parts of our lives to be in sync. You know, these days we hear a lot about balance. And balance means something different to every one of us because our challenges to balance are all very unique and individual, but it does take balance. If you're out of balance in your work life and you are a workaholic, then your personal life is going to eventually suffer, which is going to negatively affect your work life. Likewise, if you have a lot of personal challenges and those personal challenges begin to eventually bleed over into your work life. So it does require kind of a holistic approach to well-being, and it requires that in both our personal lives as well as our business lives, because it takes it all. You know, you can't remove yourself from one or the other. You can't be a great parent and a bad husband or wife. You can't be a great employee and a good parent. You know, they all keep bleeding over. One begins to kind of color and create kind of toxicity in other areas if the balance isn't everywhere.
And that balance is different for everyone. You know, there's people can take different thresholds of what they can handle, whether it be pain or whether it be some people can do work and handle a lot, and other people just can't. I mean, it depends on how you're built.
That's exactly correct. I have one of those mentalities where I could work 80-hour weeks, and with the exception of being kind of tired, I would be okay. It wouldn't emotionally or mentally melt me down much. But there are many others in my family that are kind of the opposite, and they could play or they could do their creative endeavors. You know, there's other things that they could do 80 hours a week, but it requires balance. And I don't let myself work 80-hour weeks because my personal relationships, my family time, my own creative endeavors, they are all important, and they all carry a certain amount of importance in the bigger picture of balance for each of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, so true. I mean, when you talk about mind, body, spirit, getting that in balance for who you are is everything, because when those things are in balance, your relationships, whether they're personal, is what I usually focus on, personal, whether they're work relationships, whether they're your relationship spiritually, whatever it is, if you're out of balance, everything just feels out of whack. So I can understand where that, it really starts from within you. So when you add that layer, and I got, my gosh, I'm opening a big can of worms here. When you talk about having physical pain or mental health issues, that's kind of the heart of it here that I'd love to talk about. You know, how, I know your program deals with those issues. Tell us more about, talk about feeling out of balance, you know, when you have those issues.
Let's talk about that. Let's address that a little bit. So the first thing I'd like to say on that is that I have an interesting way of addressing those. I call them attention seekers. Now, whether that is a physical pain that's happened ever since a car accident 15 years ago, or whether it is, inner drama that that continues to be replayed in every relationship since childhood, or whether it's a mental, an emotional, or a physical problem, there is an emotional component to all of it. Now, I am not adverse to the medical world. I'm certainly not adverse to people taking care of themselves with doctors and all that comes with that. And I don't advocate people not following up on their physical well-being or mental well-being from that point of view. But what I believe is that there is an emotional component to all of that, and where my work comes in is when you have something that you can't get rid of, or you have some challenge that traditional therapy or a traditional doctor doesn't address. And pain is a really good example of this. So a normal, common pain experience would be you harm yourself, you hurt yourself, you fall, and something either breaks or doesn't break, but you have a bruise there and you have some pain and swelling. You exercise a little bit, you care for it a little bit, you maybe soak it a little bit and take a little bit of Advil or Tylenol or aspirin or whatever, and eventually the pain goes away and you resume your activities slowly and you regain full usage of whatever that limb was, or and the pain goes away completely. But for many people, they have one accident or one car accident or one fall or one experience, and that experience plagues them for months, sometimes years or decades. And I see that when there are emotional components to that experience that never got dealt with, the pain becomes what I call an attention seeker, because it's trying to call your attention to the fact that you have not looked at, you have not resolved some piece of that experience emotionally, and that pain's going to keep recurring until you do. Now, doctors, you know, I think most doctors probably that are listening to your show would agree with me when I say I have the greatest respect for them, but they are very limited and they are not specialized in treating the emotional stuff. So what they do when you go in there for this recurring pain is they give you a prescription. And then because this is an emotionally based pain, pretty soon or eventually that prescription stops being effective. You still haven't dealt with your emotional challenge regarding that. And so the pain comes back and the doctor increases the prescription or changes you to a different prescription. And it's just kind of a vicious cycle until the person decides to look at and release the emotions that are literally attached to memories. And that's what an awful lot of those attention seekers really are all about.
You know, I have to tell you something interesting that happened. I had a friend many, many years ago, and he had chronic back pain and neck pain. I mean, constant. He was all the way from neurologist to you know, chiropractors to everybody in between. And finally, when his mother died, he let the world know that he was gay, and all of his pain went away. I had never seen that happen to another person before. I mean, the pain, I mean, I had him at the Cleveland Clinic, because that's where, you know, I'm from the area, which was a wonderful, you know, place to go, and trying to help him and just seeing him in that pain. And I thought, wow, how much of that was mental? More than I ever realized, and he never accepted that it was mental. But I thought to myself, wow, you're really not seeing the light here. you know, once he was able to be who he really was, his physical pain went away.
Absolutely. You know, I see people that have...
So I assume when you work with people, you know, the connection with mental and physical is so strong.
Well, and there's another interesting thing that happens, especially, and I don't want to generalize or stereotype, but I do see more with men that they have a little harder time accessing their emotions sometimes. You know, our society especially doesn't really value that or teach that. Emotional maturity or emotional agility is really not big on what parents teach their sons frequently. It's a lot more acceptable for women to be emotional in this society than it is for men, but the reality is that we are all emotional beings. And our emotions really have so much to do with our physical and our mental stability and well-being that you can't have physical well-being or mental well-being without having emotional well-being. Your story of your friend, you know, really drives that home. And I laughed a little bit when you said that, partially because I'm gay and partially because I hear stories like that all the time.
Oh, really?
It's very common for, I think, for there to be a certain amount of self-loathing that comes with the gay identity. And I say that kind of carefully, but when you, for instance, I've been married for 20 years. I have a wonderful husband. When we walk down the street, we live in a city that is not in, you know, we don't live in California any longer. We live in Arizona, in the mountains of Arizona. And while we are very much a part of the community and very much accepted by the community, there is a sense when we walk down the street that we don't show any personal affection to each other. Now, for us, it's probably because we're a little bit older. There's something more comfortable for us to keep that within our home. We kind of became desensitized or sensitized to that many, many years ago. I probably would be a little more apt to show PDA than my husband would. But where I'm going with that is that there's a certain amount of self-loathing that comes from feeling like you cannot reach out and hold the person's hand as you're walking down the street on a Sunday afternoon without having somebody yell or make rude remarks or whatever. So we kind of make this unconscious decision that when we are in gay-friendly cities or neighborhoods, we allow ourselves that kind of a luxury, I guess you'd say. And when we're home, we don't. And there is a certain amount of self-loathing that can come with that if you don't kind of look at it and take it apart and make it be a decision that you make for a reason other than being a victim or a reason other than being disempowered. And in my case, it's because I don't want to deal with idiots. But, you know.
Right. And I can understand how whatever is going on that doesn't feel okay, like, you know, people want to be who they are because we crave to be who we are. People in pain are angry at the pain. So then you have this emotion of anger.
Well, and that's true whether the pain is physical, mental, or emotional. You know, it's an attention seeker, and so it is calling all of that person's attention frequently, and frequently it's calling all of the attention of everyone that they're in relationships with as well. If they're married, it is certainly you know, it certainly overflows into their marriage if they have children, or if they are a child, it certainly overflows into that relationship. So whether the pain is mental, emotional, or physical, it's never just that person's.
Right. Well, you know, you've talked also about, you know, mental health and physical pain. How specifically, I mean, I can think off the top of my head, obviously, that it would affect people's whole lives in so many ways. But when we're talking about being in relationship and, you know, people are partnered up and they're dealing with these issues, how have you dealt with that with clients specifically? Because you really do focus on that, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. Well,
tell us a little about that.
I have dealt with it much more closely even than clients. I mean, it's a very personal issue to me. I grew up in a home that had a lot of discord and dysfunction. I'm the youngest, and the discord kind of I had a alcoholic father who also had some serious mental illness and depression. And the effects of that were very far-reaching for all of us. So you don't walk out of a situation like that with your thoughts not being affected by it. In other words, living in that kind of soup, we all take on the energies and the traits and the thought processes and the belief systems to some degree of our caretakers when we're very young. And when those caretakers are not thinking rationally, I mean, for instance, my father attempted suicide and then committed suicide when I was a teenager, and the moments that lead up to that are far-reaching for those around them. You know, when they leave the planet, that it doesn't end there, because everyone who was living with that and everyone who was dealing with that and everyone who was trying to reach that person and everyone who was being oppressed by that person or being victimized by that person or whatever it was is affected. And without looking at and kind of facing that, those emotional wounds and those memories and those experiences, the emotions kind of get tethered to the memories in a repressed kind of way, and they begin to alter everything for you. For instance, in my case, I'll give you a small example. Growing up in that environment, I learned early on that, you know, I was growing up in the late 50s and 60s, and I learned early on that you don't share what's going on, you know, you don't share what's going on. You don't share the craziness that's going on inside your house, outside your house. So there's a very clear belief system that gets learned early on in that kind of an alcoholic environment, where what is happening on the outside becomes more important than what's happening on the inside. That carries over into relationships in a huge, huge way, because the person who has that kind of splintering no longer believes the most important thing is their honesty or their integrity or their presence. It's more how it looks on the outside. That becomes the most important thing. That can be very crazy-making for the husbands and wives and children, you know, of that person.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And that's just one small aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
not sure if I totally answered your question, but.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, there's so much to this. So let's talk about mental health. I mean, we talked about alcoholism a little bit. People that have mental health disorders, obviously, if you are on a good medication, or if you are doing counseling, or both, whatever it might be, and it's under control, I have always had the experience in talking with other people that you can have a relatively good relationship personally with another person. And again, you know, you talk about having to love yourself and having high self-esteem. If you've got that going for you, and a lot of people with these issues don't, but if you've got that going for you, you have to have that anyway. But you layer on top of it a mental illness or a physical ailment. That when you talk about crazy making, I mean, that can really take that to a whole different place. So let me guess that people who come to you and talk with you, when they have pain, whatever that pain is, they probably don't, their self-esteem is out of whack a lot of times, isn't it?
Sure. Pain is an interesting thing, especially physical pain, because it really pulls your attention to it at all times. And it kind of rolls. It's anything that has to do with the body, where we humans kind of have a sense that we are separate from our body, that we are our minds and we are separate from our bodies. So when there's something going on in our bodies that doesn't feel right, whether that is pain or dysfunction, or I mean sexual dysfunction, or brain dysfunction, or whatever that is, when something doesn't work right, the common thing for most people is that all of their attention goes there. And it doesn't go there in a positive, healing way. It goes there in a way that is, for lack of a better term, kind of victim-y, you know, where, oh no, this is happening again. Oh no, this is starting again. Oh, this is never going to stop. How do I stop this? Why won't this stop? Or why can't I do this? Or why can I not do that? Or so that physical pain pulls their attention in a big way. Now, the interesting thing about physical pain, and I'll use the example that you gave about the man whose mother died, and he came out and his challenges kind of lifted. Well, I recently had a client who was working with me, and she said, "Oh my God, I just did this exercise that you gave me, and my life has been somewhat defined for the last 16 years by this chronic pain that I've had ever since this car accident that I was in. And after doing these exercises, the pain went from, I think she said, like a 6 down to a 1 or a 2. And she said, I never, ever would have believed that this had anything to do with my emotions, because it happened as the result of a car accident. There was a traumatic physical experience that I could quantifiably attach to this. So it wasn't about me being, you know, not emotionally complete or having emotional flaws or anything. There was this accident. Well, yeah, there was an accident. But that accident carried with it emotional experiences. So it wasn't just a physical experience. There was the emotions that occurred as the accident was happening, and it became impossible to avoid it, and the panic and fear as there was an awareness of what was going on there. Then there was more emotional experiences during it, and with the excruciatingness of the immediate injuries. And then there was pain dealing with the person who had hit her, and the insurance companies, and the car, and the... So it was the gift that kept on giving emotionally, you know, from before it even happened, or as she was aware that it was unavoidable. For literally 16 years afterwards, this car accident was feeding her emotional challenges. And they were not hard to release. They were not hard for her to get rid of, but you can't get rid of something that you don't look at, you know, that you don't kind of face and experience.
Now, how did she work to release those?
Well, there's multiple techniques that we use. In her case, I worked with her on EFT, which is tapping.
And yes, there's some I've done it before. Mm-hmm.
Great. There's some other methods we use sometimes along with the tapping. There's some other methods we use sometimes to define what goes with the tapping, in other words, what to tap. There are many, many modalities that kind of address this, everything from EFT to neuro-linguistic programming, you know, rapid eye treatments, and many more. I kind of have my favorites that I use, and I use different ones for different people and different experiences, you know. Some people respond very quickly and easily to them. Some it's a little more, you know, it takes a little more time and creativity finding the exact source or the multiple sources of an experience.
But there's all, you know, we touch on it a little bit. I teach in counseling. We touch on these areas just very briefly in behavioral techniques and in behavioral therapy. And I think that the eye movement is fascinating. Obviously, you have to go through intense training to do it. It is amazing how the brain works and how we can shift, especially with, you know, veterans coming back, people with PTSD, or people who've been in accidents like your client was, and how you can take that pain away, whether it's physical or mental pain, affecting your life, because I'll tell you have to have one supportive partner if you're walking through those kind of pain, that
you
kind
bet.
Of pain, because you know, a lot of people can't take that. They will, you know, walk away from people suffering from those kinds of things because they just don't have the wherewithal to do it. I mean, my dad suffered from depression. He was one of the early he took Prozac when it was really kind of young, in its infancy, and I was really afraid of it as a kid because you just heard nightmares about it. He did very well on it, and you would never know, you know, that anything was going on. But, you know, as a child, you know, when I talked to my mother about it later in life, the things that she told me, you know, some of the side effects or the way he changed was different. Sometimes I think, you know, Scott, it's a miracle that any of us stay together in relationships when all the things that we go through as human beings, in terms of, we all have life circumstances that affect us emotionally, and we are very deep emotional beings. So in your work, you know, you probably come across people with so many different issues, and you talk about dealing with the tough stuff. Talk to us a little bit more about the really tough stuff that you deal with and help people through.
Well, for instance, using depression and bipolar as an example, I from my experience working with people, there are variations of PTSD. Let me give you a little visual. Have you ever been to a carnival where they have that duck game? Bear with me here for just a minute. But you know that duck game where you're shooting it down? Usually you shoot the ducks down with water, and the ducks are kind of running along these tracks. And they start out going slow, and there's only a couple of them, and you're shooting them down. And then pretty soon there's more ducks popping up, and they're moving faster. Well, that's kind of how life works emotionally, because when we're young, you know, we have these emotional challenges and they're coming up. And if we address them and if we learn to kind of look at our emotions and kind of swim in them and understand them and manage them, then we're dealing with them as they occur. And it's just like that game, because pretty soon in the game, the ducks are moving faster and there's more of them popping up. And so if you don't start early and you're not knocking them down pretty quick, pretty soon there's just too many to deal with. And you don't even know where to shoot the water, which ones you try to get down. Well, life is kind of like that, because as we're evolving and growing, especially when we're young, you know, we've only got a few of these emotional challenges. But if we don't learn how to effectively deal with them, life marches on and it continues on, and there are more and more emotional challenges, which are opportunities for us to grow and learn and evolve. But with each one of these that we kind of ignore or avoid or don't notice, they tend to compound, and they compound in our thoughts, they compound in our feelings, they compound in the way that our mental state works, they compound in how our body works effectively and efficiently or doesn't work. And when people, frequently by the time they get to where they have to, you know, there's so many attention seekers seeking so much attention that they absolutely have to deal with them and they have to start doing the work with someone like me, there's a mountain of crap to be dealt with to even kind of sift down to figure out what the biggest issues are, because there have literally been years or decades of unresolved emotional experiences. And those emotional energies are like tethered to the memories and tethered to the experiences, and they just kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and they pull at thoughts more, and they create kind of more inner hysteria, and they create more dull physical pain, or they create more headaches, or they, you know, everyone is different because everyone's kind of physical, mental, and emotional weak links are different, but all of that stuff, without being resolved, it just affects everyone. There's no getting away from it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because, you know, if you're watching whoever is raising you interact, that is what you learn to do, and it does sink into you. It sinks into your mind, body, and spirit, which is why you can have, you know, emotional problems connected to physical problems, and physical related to emotional, and affects spiritual, and et cetera, et cetera. So if we're watching our caregivers do it wrong, then we don't learn how to do it right. So we come up and we're 20, 25, 30, 35, and you're right. There's more that keeps coming at you. You know,
that's right.
As you get older, it can then you might have health issues and life issues that you've never had before. And I can tell you this, Scott, I'm dealing with a situation right now that there's been a tragedy in my world, and the way I'm dealing with it now, I keep thinking about, I'm getting married in about 3 weeks, and I keep thinking, if this would have happened at 28 versus 52, oh, my goodness. You know, my wedding planner passed away of cancer suddenly. She didn't know she had it. She was gone in 3 weeks. And, you know, I keep thinking, oh, my goodness, if I was 28, what, I would have been a basket case.
Right.
I would have been completely outer limits. I don't know what. And Lori of today, you know, because I had to work at dealing with my emotions and dealing with myself and all many things through the years that I've worked on, I just can't help thinking, oh my goodness, I can handle so much now because I've learned how to do it. And that's really good work that you're doing with people, because they can spend the rest of their lives hopefully loving themselves more, but, you know, getting rid of that pain and being able to deal with their emotional or physical or both pain takes that layer off of them. And then they can, many of them have to deal with loving themselves. Like you said, there's a lot of work to do. But when you start doing it right and you start feeling better about it, then you start seeing, I can do it, I can do it. And then you start believing in yourself more, I think.
Absolutely. So first, can I just say congratulations on your upcoming wedding? That's a very exciting thing. And I'm also sorry for your loss, because I have a daughter who got married a few years ago, and I saw how close she became to the people who assisted her in planning her wedding. And
yeah,
she became very dependent and close to them. So that's a big loss when you're really depending on someone, and then all of a sudden you're in the position of not only saying goodbye to them, but trying to probably be some level of support at a time. You know, the roles get switched really dramatically. First, she's completely supporting you, and then all of a sudden you're in the position of feeling like that not only is your support not there, but maybe you're needing to be support, you know?
That has absolutely happened. My maid of honor was 46-year friendship with her. So, yes, it is strange to try to... It's a line that you draw. It's a strange feeling. I've never experienced it. It's a line between I have to be my best self and be a supporter. At the same time, I have to take over my own wedding, and I'm in the midst of chaos with that. And so you have to juggle that line between being consoling and going, oh my God, I have to get this done. You know, it's a strange feeling.
Yeah. I don't know if you find this, Lori, but what I've found as I've gotten older, that the past, the present, and the future have gained much more clarity within me. And the present moment becomes more and more and more important for me the older I get. You said you're 52. I'm 60. I just turned 60. And when I was, you said this had happened at 28. At 28, I lived almost entirely in the past or in the future. In the past, like, woe is me because of all this shit that I, you know, went through. Or in the future, oh my God, this could happen. Oh my God, you know, I have to make sure this doesn't happen. Oh my God, what if, what if, what if? So rarely was I in that moment of just enjoying what is and letting go of what was. But the older that I get, the more perspective that I get on that, and there's absolutely nothing that can be changed about what happened, even what happened 1 minute ago, let alone a year ago or a decade ago or a lifetime ago. You know, there's nothing that can be done. Where we're at now is what we get to deal with, and where we want to go is the goal, and so there really only is, how do I get from here to there? But I don't
think
I had that perspective at 28. I really don't think I had anything close to that perspective.
My goodness. I mean, I didn't either. And I think I really have high praise for those who get it when they're younger. It took me a while to do that. And I thought, well, you know, I've gone through things in my life. And when you do that, I realize I can handle anything. And forth, you know, people end up stepping forward and helping me while I'm trying to help someone else during this, and others are stepping up, and then you step up, and then you step back. It's like it all works out. I want to remember this as a time of, you know, a beautiful transition for her, of her death, and she had a very strong faith. And, you know, and that's very, that's a beautiful thing, and I want to keep looking at it as a beautiful thing. And you were always learning lessons, no matter what we're going through. And And I'm going through a big relationship change, obviously. This is my first time marrying. Also, I'm writing a book about it. So, you know, all of this together is just my current experience right now. But I thought, you know, be your highest self. This is just another lesson and challenge to be your highest self. And it's not always easy, but, you know, I think that if everybody has that goal to say, you know, I want to be my highest self here. I want to do this in a way that serves me and is, you know, it's a lesson. It's not life ending. It's a lesson. So with that, I am going to have to get us wrapped up, Scott, because we're coming close to the end of our time. Take a minute or two to, you know, kind of say your last thoughts and tell us how we can reach you, find your course, Focused Wellbeing, and however people can find you.
Great. Well, just to wrap up our conversation to this point in time, I would just like to kind of give you a little thought on what you were just talking about. I believe that there's this energy that we're all kind of swimming in together. We're all moving amongst each other, either giving or taking, whether that be empathy or compassion or money or joy or appreciation or gratitude, where there's this flow, this give and take that's occurring all the time. And what you're getting is probably one of the greatest gifts that anyone could give. And I would kind of sum it up in two ways. One, you're getting the gift of realizing the dance. And I'm sure you've found during this really kind of challenging period that the more relaxed you are and the more you believe that all will work out and the more you kind of don't clench up and you don't tense up and you just go, it is what it is and it's going to be wonderful. I'm going to let go of this and I have to do this right now, but I'm going to let go of this and hope it works. And you just notice that everything gets taken care of. There's this amazing synergy that occurs and the universe just, you know, whether you want to call it God or the universe or what, everything works when we don't get in its way. There's this amazing, helpful people will step up. People who were disruptive will move away. Other people who are better suited for that will just slide right in without you even noticing it. Things that you were worried about will just get taken care of without you realizing it, or you'll realize it really didn't need to get taken care of in the first place. So there's these gifts of allowing the universe to orchestrate things, or allowing God to orchestrate things, however you believe, in such a way that you don't get in its way, that you don't get in and muck it up by feeling the need to control everything and be in control of everything, because we aren't, and it's just not possible to be.
You're so right, and that's a wonderful reminder, I think, to everybody that can happen. Thank you for that.
You bet. I've enjoyed my time with you greatly. I love your show, and I love what you're doing, and I'm very grateful to be here with you today. I'm really also very happy to talk about this course, and it's interesting that we scheduled this appointment months ago for this interview, and we actually have a new version of the course that's coming out right now. And we've had a founder's version sale going on that ends at midnight tonight. So if anyone wants to find out about the course, there's a really easy web address they can go to find it. And it's bit.ly/focusedwellbeing. And the course is regularly $597. It's a two-month course, eight-week course, and there's a lot of information online about the course, but until midnight tonight, it's only $197, and so this is kind of a great time to get out to your listeners that there's a couple hours left if they are interested in it. the regularly retails for $5.97, and this is like 67% off. So that's kind of a big deal. It'll never be this inexpensive again. So again, that is bit.ly/focusedwellbeing. FOCUSEDWELLBEING. And I am Scott McMaster, and you can reach me online at scottmcmaster.com, just like it sounds.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Life Coach Scott McMaster, for being with us tonight. Really enjoyed our time together. And again, I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Lori. I had a really great time. I hope to be with you again.
Wonderful. Humanity Thriving Out Loud, read the Magic Happens magazine. And don't forget to check out my website. It's being totally revamped, and it's at www.happinesshangout.net. Mark your calendars for August 8th. Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness, that is its published date. So make sure you go to my website and sign up for my Happiness Quick Read so you can get all the information on the book and all kinds of great information on self-esteem and gratitude and happiness. Thanks, everybody, for being with us on the Happiness Hangout, and see you next time.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.